Good morning, everyone, and it's good to be with you at Twinning this morning. Thanks to Tom for leading us and bringing us before the Lord as we've worshipped and prayed together. Let me just pray before I contribute my part to the service. We pray, Lord, that we may be humble learners of you. Lord, we know that however long that we've walked with you in the Christian life, there is still more to learn. We need to go deeper into the great ocean of your love. We need to rest even more on the bedrock of your faithfulness and the great hope that we have in Christ. So we pray, Lord, that as we focus on your word now, you will speak to us, you will challenge us, you will encourage us through your Holy Spirit, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, our reading this morning is from Lamentations chapter 3, which I think will appear on the screen in just a moment. There we are. Yep. So I'm going to read a couple of sections as we follow the screen. The prophet Jeremiah writes these words: I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Could you leave the verses up, Donald? That'd be great. Thank you. It's a long time ago now, but I've got a bit of a confession to make about the time when I was at school. So it's a long time ago. One subject I could never get on with was history. And the reason why I couldn't get on with it is because it always seemed to be like loads and loads and loads of dates. And I could never remember the dates. Some of the events were very interesting, but the dates, I always had to remember the dates for exams, and I just couldn't do it. So history wasn't my favourite subject then. But of course, as God's people, history is very important because it is his story, it's God's story, it's the way that God has revealed himself to us and to the world through the events of history. There aren't, in the history of the Old Testament, there aren't dates that we need to remember, fortunately. We can try to understand and assimilate the importance of the event. But there is one date that I think it is helpful to remember. And that date is 586 BC. 586 BC. We've had some numbers already on the screen. 586 BC, because that was the year when the nation of Judah was taken into forced exile, into forced captivity in Babylon. And the book that we're thinking about this morning, the Book of Lamentations, was written by the prophet Jeremiah just after those events took place. So just after 586 BC, Jeremiah was writing about the situation in which he and his people found themselves. Jeremiah, as you probably know, had received his call to be a prophet and to speak for God when he was very young. And he lived and served as a prophet through a very challenging period of Jewish history. It was a time of unrest, a time of rampant inflation, we know all about that, don't we? And a constant threat of invasion from the superpowers that surrounded the nation. And those threats and those warnings culminated in the events of 586 BC, when the superpower of the day, which was Babylon, invaded and overran the nation of Judah, rather like the Russians have tried to do in Ukraine. And the invading Babylonians completely destroyed the heart of the nation. Those horrific pictures that we see on our TV screens of the destruction in Ukraine, well, that was something like what it was like for the people of Judah at this time. Obviously, there weren't the high-tech weapons then, but the destruction was equally horrific. The great temple in Jerusalem, which was a symbol of God's presence, was destroyed. And the whole life, the whole religious life of the nation was in ruins. Homes and defences and city walls were destroyed. And worst of all, many, many people were taken in forced captivity into slavery from their home country to Babylon. Ethnic cleansing is how we would call it today. They were taken to Babylon to work. And so it was a terrible time for the nation. 586 BC is a date etched in their consciousness. In one of the Psalms, we have just a flavour of what it was like for the people who were taken into captivity. Just reading one verse of Psalm 137, which was written by people in their slavery, in their captivity in Babylon. The psalmist wrote this: "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion." These were the people who'd been taken into slavery, and they looked back on what they had lost, what they'd had to leave behind. Zion represents Jerusalem and God's presence and God's blessing on them. And now it seemed they were all so far away from it. And so they wept as they thought of what they'd been taken away from. And when Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations, he actually was not one of the people who'd been taken into Babylon. Because he was an older man, he obviously couldn't work in the same way as some of the younger ones could. So he was left behind in Jerusalem, near Jerusalem. And he reports in the book of Lamentations on the implications of the invasion that they'd just had. Life was very harsh. Food was short. Prices were high. There seemed to be no hope at all for the people left behind, let alone the people who'd been taken into slavery. And Jeremiah knew firsthand of the hardships that the people were experiencing following what had been God's judgment on the people. Now, I have to say that most of the book of Lamentations makes very gloomy reading indeed, because it reflects on the events of the destruction in 586 BC, the significance of all that, the consequences of it, because the people had sinned continuously and grievously against God. Jeremiah and other prophets warn them, look, if you continue to go on like this, one day God is going to have to intervene. God is going to have to intervene and to judge. And that judgment will involve being taken away into captivity. And of course, that's exactly what had to happen. God intervened and brought judgment on the people in the form of invasion and destruction. So yes, if you read the book of Lamentations, much of it is very negative. Jeremiah's message didn't make for easy listening by the people who lived then, and it doesn't, most of it anyway, doesn't make for easy reading for us today. But here's the thing. Against the background of darkness, against the background of negativity, the light shines extra brightly. And the passage we've read from Lamentations chapter 3 comes right in the middle of the book of Lamentations. It's some glorious verses, which of course give rise to one of our hymns that we shall sing a little bit later on. But these are glorious verses, and they light up even more against the background of darkness that the people knew at that time. And I want to pick out two practical thoughts from what Jeremiah writes right in the middle of this book. Verses 19 and 20, as we start this section, remind us of the depression and the grief that was flooding Jeremiah's soul because of the plight of his people. He'd faced so much personal suffering. The nation was struggling, those enslaved and those who'd left behind. Little wonder that he expresses his feelings, "My soul is downcast within me," in verse 20. Yeah, we get the picture. But then, in verse 21, the light begins to break into the darkness. How? Well, look at what it says in verse 21. Jeremiah writes, "Yet this I call to mind." Yet this I call to mind. But this I call to mind. Very often in Scripture we get some very important buts. This is how things were, but then God steps into the situation to change it and to transform it. "But this I call to mind. Therefore, I have hope." The light begins to break in as Jeremiah talks to himself. He consciously calls to his mind. He brings back to his mind positive things. A little bit later, if you could switch down to the second half, Donald. A little bit later in verse 24, he says, "I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will wait for him." I wonder, do you ever talk to yourself? And they sometimes say it's the first sign of madness, don't they? But no, seriously, talking to ourselves is an important spiritual exercise. It's what Jeremiah does here. "I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. I say to myself, the Lord is with us. He'll provide us with everything that we really need." By talking to ourselves in the way that Jeremiah did, the ray of the Holy Spirit's light can begin to pierce into the gloom of the situation. That's what Jeremiah found as he wrote the book of Lamentations, reflecting on his situation. And it can be our experience too in the situations and trials that we may face. Talking to ourselves is an important spiritual exercise. But of course, it depends very much on what we actually say. We must talk encouragement to ourselves and to each other. We often see this actually in the Psalms. The end of verse 43 has these words when the psalmist was facing a very similar troubling time to the one that Jeremiah wrote in. The psalmist writes these words right at the end of the psalm. He's catalogued the problems, the enemies, the trials that they face. But then right at the end of the psalm, he talks to himself. What's he say? "Why are you downcast, my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." The psalmist talks to himself and he tells himself to look away from his problems and look instead to the Lord and his provision, to remember God's blessings and to rejoice in them. And so that's exactly what Jeremiah is doing in this passage. "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." Look away from the present situation and look up to the Lord, his faithfulness, and his blessings. He reminds himself, as I've already commented, that the Lord is his portion. The Lord will provide everything he really needs. We must talk to ourselves. It's so easy to get focused in on the situations that we face. And it's easy to forget to look away from those situations and look to the Lord and his faithfulness. Pressing circumstances, pressing needs can crowd in on our minds. They can crush us. They can overwhelm us. But we must learn the spiritual discipline of talking to ourselves, looking away from the situation and looking instead to the Lord. It's one of those lessons of faith which takes us, each one of us, I'm sure, a lifetime to learn. We learn and then we forget. God reminds us and then we forget. But it's a lesson that we need to continually learn. For Jeremiah, and indeed for us, to talk to ourselves, to look away from the situation and to look up to God, involves a deliberate effort and an act of our will. Instead of looking at the circumstances, we turn our eyes to the Lord and his mercies. So let's learn from Jeremiah. Let's talk to ourselves and remind ourselves of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. So that's the first thing. Jeremiah talks to himself. But the second and more important thing I want to underline from this passage is what Jeremiah focuses on as he begins to talk to himself. As he talks to himself, he is reminded of an absolute gem of God's promises. Because of the Lord's great love, which is in the previous verse, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Here is genuine hope for Jeremiah and indeed for his people. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Yes, the people had disobeyed, but God had not stopped loving them with his great love. The nation had suffered disaster, but God had not stopped loving them with his great love. God had moved on them in judgment, but he had not stopped loving them with his great love. As a hymn writer put it, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. And that was and still is a message so profound. And as Jeremiah talks to himself, he has a fresh recollection of that great truth. How much the people in Jeremiah's day needed to hear again this message. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And in our times of testing and darkness and problems, each one of us, I'm sure, needs the same message too, to be reassured by the love of God, which is constant, to be reassured by the faithfulness of God, which can never let us go, and which we can always trust. Verse 22 points us to a stark contrast. He says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. And there's a contrast in that verse, because if we are not warmed and strengthened and reassured and encouraged by God's love, we risk instead being consumed and overwhelmed and dragged down by the situations we face. It applies in the big situations that Jeremiah was in, but it applies in the smaller situations that each of us may face day to day, week to week. Will we talk to ourselves like Jeremiah did? Will we call to mind the great love of God, or will we be dragged down and consumed? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Actually, the word literal translation of that verse is because of the Lord's great loves. It's plural. Because of the Lord's great loves, we are not consumed. And the idea is that there are so many different aspects of the Lord's love. It's all-embracing. It's all-sufficient. It's enough for everyone. It covers all situations and extends to everyone who trusts in him. the Lord's great loves. It's like a diamond with so many different aspects and angles to appreciate its beauty and its greatness. And some of the hymns we've sung earlier express the aspects of the Lord's great loves, which is there for us. Because of the Lord's great loves, we are not consumed. The loves that speak of the Lord's kindness and generosity to each one of us, to the personal intimacy that we're privileged to share with him. As Jeremiah goes on to say, every single day we receive God's new mercies. I wonder if how often we stop to thank God for them. The old chorus said, didn't it? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We need to sometimes, yes, surprise ourselves with the number and the bounty of the mercies that God showers upon us. Mercies that will accompany us through every day, whatever that day may have in store for us. So the Lord's great love speaks of God's kindness in all situations. But the great loves that Jeremiah refers to also has the meaning of God's great promises to us. God made special promises to his people a number of times in their history. And that's why in verse 23, Jeremiah looks back with the words, "Great is thy faithfulness," because God always keeps the promises he has made. For us in our time, a promise that I've often thought about is this, that comes in Romans. Nothing in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. A promise that we can hold on to, even, yes, sometimes the circumstances may seem, at the surface, very different. Things may seem black, it may seem that God is distant, but the truth is, nothing in creation can or will be able to separate us from the love of God. That's what God has promised to us, and his promises he keeps. He is always faithful to the promises he gives. Another aspect of this diamond, these great loves that God shows to us, is in verse 22. Because of the Lord's great loves, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Compassion is a slightly different facet of the love of God, and it refers particularly to times when we are weak or in spiritual need. A fortnight ago, last Sunday, a member of our congregation had a freak accident. He was sitting in the kitchen on a chair. He doesn't know quite what happened after that, but he fell off the chair for some reason and broke his neck. It was a shock, of course, for the family, a great shock for the family. But his family spoke of the peace and the confidence that he had in the Lord's mercies as he faced emergency surgery. Yesterday he came home after that surgery to recuperate. But his testimony was, in that sudden, unexpected, could have been tragic situation, his testimony was of God's faithfulness and God's compassions. God's compassions come to us from the very depth of his nature and being. And his words emphasize the loving kindness of God to us. Compassions is God's great loves shown to us when we are at rock bottom. Towards the end of our passage, Jeremiah says this. He expresses quiet and peaceful confidence. He's reminded himself of God's heart of love and compassion. And he concludes in verse 26, "It is good to wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord." Jeremiah, yes, his new consciousness of the love of God hadn't actually changed anything about the situation. There was still famine, there was still destruction, the people were still in slavery, but it brought a whole new perspective. And in the confidence of God's great love, Jeremiah is reminded that he can wait for the salvation of the Lord. He can hope, he can trust that God will one day intervene to reverse the situation. In the events of history, that actually happened about 70 years later. Jeremiah didn't live to see it himself, but God did bring salvation in that sense to his people by taking them back to their own land. Jeremiah concludes by waiting patiently for the salvation of the Lord. And let us remember that we still have a great hope that we are awaiting. Yes, we are saved. Yes, we know Jesus is our Savior. Yes, we are adopted into his family. But the fullness of our salvation is still to come, and we still wait patiently and quietly for that to come. When is the Lord going to come? Sometimes it seems perhaps as if it's never going to happen, but we know that God has promised. We know that one day Jesus will return. We know that one day we shall be part of the new creation. We shall have new bodies instead of our creaking ones that are slowly falling apart. We'll be new and forever in God's presence. For us, of course, it's easier to understand the great loves about which Jeremiah wrote and about which he spoke to his people. That's because we can see the diamond of his great love focused in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. As Christians, we have far more grounds to be certain of God's love than Jeremiah ever did. And so that the confidence that Jeremiah can show can be a confidence that we should know because of the love that we see in Christ. The Apostle Paul prayed for those who are believers in Ephesus. He prays with these words: I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of Christ. Paul prays that we may grasp the magnitude, the height, the depth, the length, and so on, the magnitude of God's love. It's something which is beyond our total comprehension, but as we grow in Christ, we grow in knowledge of that love. And the Apostle Paul wants us to grasp the richness and enormity of that love shown to us all in Christ. And so, as Jeremiah writes, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so may that, as we go into another week, that faithfulness, that great love which is ours in Christ, may that be our testimony in these days to come. We're going to close by singing the hymn based on these verses, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So let's stand and enjoy singing this great hymn together.